night of bargains galore. That's right, you two can be the proud owner of the quality goes in before that name goes on. One-tenth of a dollar, one-tenth of a dollar. We got service after the sale. How about perfume? We got perfume. How about an engagement ring? Some for the little lady, some for the little lady, some for the little lady. $3-$4. We got a year-end clearance. We got a white sale and a smoke-damaged furniture. You can drive it away today. Act now, and receive as our gift to you. They come in all colors, one size fits all. No muss, no fuss, no spills. You tired of kitchen drudgery? Everything must go. Going out of business, going out of business, going out of business. 50% off original retail price. Skip the middleman. Don't settle for less. How do we do it? How do we do it? Volume, volume. Turn up the volume. Watch under the Chase Lounge for several weeks. And it plays a mean rhythm master. It makes excuses for unwanted lipstick on your collar. And it's only a dollar. Step right up. Forges your signature, not completely satisfied. Mail back on you, portion of product for complete refund of price of purchase. Step right up. Please allow 30 days for delivery. Don't be fooled by cheap imitations. You can live in it, laughing it, loving it, swimming it, sleeping it, living it, swimming it, laughing it, loving it. Remove embarrassing stains from contour sheets. That's right. And it entertains visiting relatives. It turns a sandwich into a banquet. Being the life of the party, change your shorts, change your life, change your life, change into a 9-year-old Hindu boy, get rid of your wife, and it walks your dog, and it doubles on sacks, doubles on sacks, you can jump back, Jack, see you later, alligator, and it steals your car, it gets rid of your gambling debts, it quits smoking, it's a friend, it's a companion, it's the only product you will ever need, follow these easy assembly instructions, it never needs ironing. Well, it takes weights off hips, bust, thighs, chin, midriff, hips. Never needs binding, never needs binding, never needs binding. Gets rid of blackheads, heartbreak, psoriasis, Christ. You don't know the meaning of heartbreak, buddy. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Gives you an erection, it wins the election. Why put up with painful corns any longer? It's a redeemable coupon, no obligation, no salesman will visit your home. We got a jackpot, jackpot, jackpot. Prizes, prizes, prizes.
Fellow Americans, my name is Scooter, and I welcome you to the Inner Side Radio program produced at KPFT Pacifica Radio, right off the Third Coast, Houston, Texas, where the women are strong, the men are drunk, and the children are air-conditioned from birth.
Thank you. I've been part of this group. It's been very exciting. I'm the only non-academic in this group, and I've gotten to really appreciate what academic missions do. It's very interesting work. I really have a lot of respect for them, and I really am glad they put up with the non-academic being with them in their group. Second thing I'd like to clarify, using the word evolution, and that just brings up all sorts of definitions. We'll give you a handout, but not today. But let me explain some of the use of the words that I'll be using today. Intelligent design I'll define in the talk, but evolution itself, people will say Darwinism or evolution. A lot of the quotes that I'll be using are going to be from Philip Johnson, because Philip Johnson is one of the leaders in the intelligent design movement. He uses the word Darwinism, and I'll be getting...
I always like to try to end our tours at home in Texas, because it's just something about, it really gives you something to look forward to, getting to come home. People mean well, you know, but people in other parts of the country, they just... They think they know what it's like down here, and some of them do. But you can tell by the way sometimes when people from other places, when they come down to visit, by the way they dress, they buy all the right clothes. But there's just something about them.
Texas, man, as if I couldn't tell. Well, you think you pull your boots on right and wear your hat so well. So pardon me, my laughter, as I sure do understand. Even Moses got excited when he
There's more officers to vote for than just keeping some dumb helicopter huntress out of the presidency. There's also the members of the school board, a bunch of unpaid amateurs, often with surprisingly little sense or education, but with more power than most of us are aware. Because they get to decide how your children's understanding will be undermined. Abstinence-only sex education. They want to eliminate elements of history that might be embarrassing to Protestant Christianity, and they want to minimize language and social studies in order to keep our children ignorant and insular. Committed to voting against science. Here we have a couple of college dropouts who never graduated, so of course they pass on their ignorance by homeschooling their children. Why the hell are they on the Board of Education? This guy is the vice chairman. You think he'd let his kids jump to the conclusion that evolution really happens, just like all the scientists in Texas say it does? Promote or permit your children to achieve a level of education he himself could not? Remember, these people aren't just misleading their own kids. They're in charge of misleading our kids. How did we get such a sorry-ass majority voting bloc in this state?
Stupid! It burns!
Mostly due to this man.
James Leininger, L-E-I-N-I-N-G-E-R, Texas mega millionaire, paymaster of the Republican religious right, also known as God's sugar daddy.
He's worth hundreds of millions of dollars and is known as the Daddy Warbucks of the Republican religious right in Texas. He donated a couple $100,000 just to seat right-wing conservatives on the BOE, including a $20,000 donation to fund McLeroy's campaign. And now that he's the chair, McLeroy has already begun loopholing religion into the public schools in ways no one else has done before. But it's even worse than that. What happened in Kansas and in Dover, Pennsylvania is about to happen here in Texas, too. Ralph Silke is a professional creationist from Minnesota who apparently tours the country reciting his testimony of incredulity, hoping to sell his snake oil to would-be educators of whatever state will buy it. He and co-conspirator Stephen Meyer have co-written a creationist textbook on evolution in which there are four falsehoods already repeated just in the introduction. Neither of these men are Texans.
Carpetbagger!
And it's a conflict of interest that they should choose our textbooks when they wrote one to suit their agenda, and they're the worst possible example of personal bias in this matter.
Stupid.
How biased are they?
Burns.
Stephen Meyer is the vice president of the Discovery Institute, the intelligent design headquarters in Seattle. He has no business choosing the science standards of this or any other state.
Carpetbagger!
Yet, he and other creationists were selected by our mostly YECBOE for that very purpose. Worse still, Don McLeroy became the chairman of the board and still doesn't know dick about jack about anything about science, and has in fact only become a more outspoken enemy against
witless window-licking clown cars.
When I saw that he had made a public statement to the effect that magic should be treated as part of science, I sent an email to every member of the BOE and received only one response. It lamented the fact that the Board of Education is controlled by the religious right and that they've made their agenda clear that they will vote against the body of research that supports the teaching of evolution in our science.
A little longer, and next time somebody laughs at you, you just tell them you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas, too many ways. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas, too many ways. That's right.
G.K. Chesterton, 100 years ago, 1908, basically made an interesting observation that the Christian is quite free to believe that there's a considerable amount of settled, but the materialist is not allowed to admit into a spotless machine the slightest speck of spiritualism or miracle. And I think that really describes exactly when you want to see these people can't stand anything getting into their spotless machines. Certainly, origin of life that spontaneously rose chemically is not supported by the Bible. It's not supported by the evidence. So maybe that is the target.
Anyways, won't you let me help you, mister? Just pull your hat down the way I do and buy your pants just a little longer. And next time,
Everybody laughs at you. You just
that's tell
them you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas don't you get it? That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas don't you get it? That's right, you're not from Texas.
Hey, Dad, can you buy me a dinosaur just like Jesus used to have? I learned all about it in my biology class. Yabba dabba do.
That's right.
Can I get into Stanford? How about Cornell? God bless Texas.
How do we do it? 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 We need your business. We're going out of business.
On money suppliers are only worried about the inflationary prospects down the road.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
What happened in the Great Depression was, the way I understand it, was that people were using investments as collateral to borrow more money to make more investments.
Mm-hmm.
And it really seems like this is almost exactly the same thing, and this is the margin call. Am I right, or am I in the ballpark?
You're absolutely in the ballpark. You're absolutely right. There was an incredible amount of leveraging in the economy among financial institutions in the past decade or so to incredible heights. This is one of the very strong similarities. I said there were some differences, but there are some similarities between now and the Great Depression, and I'd say that's really near the top of the list. Our financial institutions became highly leveraged. And now, with this collapse in consumer confidence and retail sales and the prospect of a recession, and we see a similar deleveraging now beginning among financial institutions that you saw during the deflationary period of the Great Depression.
Jeez.
Credit crunch that goes beyond the subprime crunch, but the whole heart of this whole thing is a crime against poor people who basically were talked into taking mortgages that they couldn't afford by slick mortgage brokers and the like, moved into these homes at a low teaser rate, and then found them unaffordable and are now moving out. 3.5 million families facing foreclosure. Houston knows about Katrina because so many of the people from New Orleans came to Houston. But we're talking now about a 50-state Katrina. We're talking about 3.5 million families, 21 million homes underwater, that is to say, worth less than people are paying on them. Okay, we're talking about mounting inflation. We're talking about joblessness, 750,000 jobs so far that they officially acknowledge. I'm sure it's a lot more than that. So as we rocket and careen, not simply into a recession, but potentially into something much worse. Don't you think the government wanted to solve this problem? When the markets melted down in August 2007 over the subprime lending, you know, they discovered that these asset-based secured-backed securities had no assets backing them, that it was all a fraud, and banks started writing down billions of dollars, the Federal Reserve Bank immediately swung into action and began cutting interest rates, and now they've done it 8 times. And the net effect of it has been to increase inflation. It has not actually stabilized the situation. They've injected hundreds of billions of dollars into banks, into financial institutions, into money market funds, et cetera, et cetera. And the markets are still going down. So what they're doing is not working. The bailout started out. It was going to be a bailout, you know, three-page document, a bailout, basically buy up the toxic waste mortgages on the balance sheets of these banks. Then they decided not to do that. Instead, they were going to pump money into the banks. This wasn't even approved by Congress, okay? Henry Paulson just took control here and began to pump money into banks, but with no public control. In other words, they weren't saying, here's $100 billion, but to get this, you have to, you know, cut back your executive compensation. You have to do X, Y, and Z. They don't have to do anything. They just get the money because there's a desperate panic here to try to keep the juice up the economy and get more liquidity into the system. So any kind of public accountability, any kind of transparency seems to be out the window. I mean, there are no public interest people or labor people sitting on the boards making these decisions. Today, Henry Paulson was interviewed in the New York Times, and he says, you know, maybe, he says, I should have, paid more attention to the subprime crisis sooner, he admits. Then he goes on to say, well, if I did, I'm not sure I would have done anything differently. This is the Treasury Secretary. Unbelievable, okay? Alan Greenspan today said, I'm really shocked that this has happened. This is shocking. And clearly, we lack regulation. You know, of course, Alan Greenspan was lobbying for a lack of regulation. So suddenly these people are making sort of grudging admissions with no real apologies. They're not really being held accountable. And the FBI basically indicted 400 people in the mortgage scams. They've announced a criminal investigation of 26 companies. They've opened 1,400 cases. They've created 40 task forces. And then last week, the New York Times reports the FBI doesn't have the staff to actually pursue these investigations. Why? Because they're, because of 9/11, because they're chasing terrorists around, okay? Or so they claim, okay? So here we have a situation where, our money, our finances are not being protected. I'm not just talking about them. I'm talking about our 401ks. I'm talking about our retirement funds. I'm talking about, very direct things that affect every single person in this country. And it seems as if nobody wants to pay attention to this. It's like, oh, did you hear what Sarah Palin, said about so-and-so and such-and-such, and that she had a $150,000 clothing allowance from the Republican Party? Isn't that horrible? In other words, people want to talk about issues that will distract us, but not issues that really take us closer to real power in America. And I think this is unfortunately true of progressives as well. I don't know if you agree with, but you speak to people and they say, I really don't understand this. And what about, we have to fight to end the war. And, it's just we go back to the safe ground, not paying attention to the fact that we are, on the edge of a possible depression. Which is a kind of a game changer, a life changer for everybody in this country. And there's no economic justice movement. Maybe there will be after the election, but there's nobody really standing up about this. There is going to be a protest on Wall Street tomorrow. There have been a bunch of them there. But this is not an issue that has really caught fire with progressives. They would much rather, talk about why McCain and why Bill O'Reilly is bad, bad, bad. In my opinion, that's a cop-out.
I made it run. I made it run against time. Once I built a railroad, and now it's done. But I can't spare a dime. Once I built a tower, way up to the sun, with bricks and mortar and lime. Once I built a railroad, and now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Can you spare?
Well, I wrote this book. Here's what happened. I did the film In Debt We Trust. The film came out. I did screenings. A lot of people who came to see it liked it. But, the reviews were tepid. They were basically saying, hey, you're exaggerating here. This is, you're an alarmist. You're a doom and gloomer. Everything is going well. How can you project a crisis when everything seems to be doing great? Okay? That was my frustration. So I began to, just track what was happening. And that evolved into this book, Plunder, which came out a week before Lehman Brothers went down. So maybe I should claim credit for it. But nevertheless, I've been trying to explain this to people, and I've found a kind of a wall of denial. It's because we don't want to talk about money, most of us. We made mistakes. We haven't handled our money right. We're behind on our credit cards. A lot of different reasons, okay? But basically, there's been this transfer of hundreds of billions of dollars in wealth from the poorest people in America to the richest, and nobody's talking about it. I met with Sheila Jackson Lee. She's in my film, In Debt We Trust, the congresswoman from Houston, okay? And she was almost in shock about this. She was saying that people are not paying attention to what's going on here, that this is a you know, basically the biggest ripoff in American history. This isn't a, you know, I grew up at a time when there were movies, Bonnie and Clyde, you know, movies about people robbing banks. Now the banks are robbing us, and nobody's paying attention to it. You know, every time you get a late fee or a finance charge tacked on to your credit card bills, and you, all of a sudden, you know, everything is costing you incredibly more money, and they make the rules themselves. There's no regulation. There's no accountability. So this is something that is a direct threat to our economic survival on one hand. On the other hand, it's a classic example of a lack of democracy and accountability. Essentially, you know, power has been transferred from the public to the private. You know, people here are like, wow, can we win the president? You know, whoever wins the presidency, you think they're going to have any money to do anything? You think they're going to have much range? Both parties have taken large chunks of money from the very companies that are at the core of this crisis.
Greg Pallas.
Hey, Greg. So good to hear your voice. How you doing?
Okay. Getting through this veil of tears called election season.
Yeah. You know, we were just talking about the direction that the country's going right now. Can you talk about that a little bit? I mean,
no.
What the hell's going on? You know, I mean, what's going on? The economy's falling, and at the same time, our rights are being eroded. What the hell?
Well, but people are reacting. I mean, I think it's actually heady times. Whether you think Obama is, you know, the one, I don't know. Whether he will affect change, I don't know. What's much more important than any of that, than a candidate, is that, you know, polls are really showing that people have had it up to here with losing civil rights, losing jobs, losing homes, losing lives in Iraq. People have just had it up to here. And I mean, basically, suddenly KPFT is kind of the mainstream.
Exactly.
It's Fox News, which is the fringe.
Yeah.
You know, they should be doing fun drives. Why are we?
Yeah.
We're in the center now, baby.
Yeah.
So you guys should be happy.
Yeah. So? Well, Fox News is in third place, I believe, right now in the ratings.
And we're first in soul power. Now listen. However, here's the dark cloud on the horizon. I've been investigating with Bobby Kennedy. I investigated the theft of 2000 and 2004. Kennedy wrote a Rolling Stone article on the theft of 2004. This week, Kennedy and I have an article in Rolling Stone called Block the Vote, which basically says that the election won't be stolen, but it already has been stolen. And what we mean by that is that 2.7 million voters have been purged from the voter rolls. That's ugly business. One in five voters have had their names removed from the voter rolls of Colorado, the swing state. That's the Florida, Ohio of 2008. One in nine in New Mexico. It is ugly, ugly business out there, and they are blocking voters from voting. They're purging. They're stopping people from getting their names on the voter registries, all due to a new law, the Help America Vote Act. George Bush is now helping us vote, so look out.
Great.
There's something you can do about it. And before, that's where I got to emphasize this. You can steal it back. So Kennedy and I'm Greg Pallas, in case you just tuned in. Kennedy and I have come up with, facing this emergency, have done what we think is the most important thing we can do, which is to write a comic book. So we got a comic book.
Here you go.
Steal back your vote. Steal back your vote.
What a great idea. I mean, it just seems just in line with what you do.
Yeah, and it's 24 full-color pages penned by great tunist Ted Rall, Lucas Kettner, Lloyd Dangle, Troubletown. It's really true investigative reporting. This is not a kiddie comic. This is like in-your-face, hard-edged investigative reporting this is the real Transmetropolitan. If you've seen the cartoons based on Hunter Thompson, this is the real thing. This is real investigative reporting illustrated, just like the Rolling Stone article, just it has some color in it. And it also has, in the 24 pages, the last couple pages, are seven ways to steal back your vote. So in other words, it's not hopeless.
Yeah.
It's been stolen, but you can steal it back. And the other thing you can do is, you want to take a look at the comic book online, you can do that at stealbackyourvote.org. stealbackyourvote.org, and there, by the way, you can download for nothing the film stealbackyourvote, which is what I did for BBC television, which shows you how they're doing it. The missing voters of New Mexico, the missing voters of Colorado, the foreclosed voters of Michigan. This is how they're stealing this election again. But again, you can steal it back, stealbackyourvote.org for that stuff, and you'll get a copy of the comic book. You get a couple copies. We'll make sure everyone gets, who donates, gets a couple copies.
Yeah.
One for yourself and one for your foolish cousin who is about to mail in their ballot. Please don't mail in your ballot. Don't go postal, because one of the things that we found out is that about 1 in 10 mail-in ballots get junked. They know who you are. They know who you voted for. They didn't even have to open the ballot. They know your zip code. They know who you are. So,
yeah. Don't
mail it in. You want to walk it in person. Early voting, please. You want to start voting. Now, that's some of the advice you get, cheap advice. You also have 800 protection numbers. And I want to tell you a big up to Congresswoman Sissy Fahrenholz, who's been helping us get this out. And Voto Latino, we do have Spanish language translations of it. If you go to stealbackyourvote.org, you can see tonight a piece of it called Nuns on the Run. One of the ways that they're stealing this election is that they are demanding, all, in many states like Indiana, demanding government photo ID. And you say, well, what's so wrong with that? Well, the answer, what's wrong with that, man, is that not everyone has those things. And in fact, 10 nuns in Indiana were denied the right to vote because they did have driver's licenses, but since they're all in their 80s and 90s, their licenses had expired. They had, so they weren't allowed to vote, even though they voted this one place for like 40 years. They were denied the right to vote.
You got it, buddy. The largest print giveth and the small print taketh away. Step right up. You can step right up. You can step right up. Come on, step right up. Get away from me, can you, boy? Step right up. Step right up. Step right up.
We heard from Aaron Raw via YouTube from Dallas on the Texas School Board, Danny Schechter, Greg Palast, Tim Canova, Thursday Night Radio at good old-fashioned KPFT Pacifica Radio. Thanks to Stacy Davis, Rick, and Wally James. My name's Scooter. You've been listening to the Innerside Radio program, and I'll see you all next week.
That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas wants you anywhere. That's right. That's right, you're not from Texas.
Oh, no, 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 no. But Texas wants you anywhere.